Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We were just finishing up the concept of the scale of liberty. We're going through fundamental principles and fundamental understanding of, I'll just call it the paradigm of the framers. These men understood liberty. They understood its importance. And this kind of leads us towards Madison's essay on property, because what basically Madison is articulating is that our fundamental property is our property of liberty. In other words, if you look at the things you possess, Madison basically, he stated it best, you have property in your rights and rights in your property and vice versa. And which means that your rights or your liberty is your property. When somebody starts taking your liberties, they have in essence stolen your most valuable property from you. Because if all of a sudden you do not have the power and the capability to go and engage in commerce, go work for your employer to make money, to go and put, you know, food on the table and pay for the roof over your head and the consumables and everything else, then you have been denied your fundamental property, or they've been taken away your property from you, and they are denying you those fundamental rights. So these men had such a profound understanding. You know, this kind of goes down this path of, you know, philosophy, because I've talked about a very popular Jordan Peterson, a popular philosophical professor. There's all of these different slants, but I truly see that there's two ends, and it's based on the scale of liberty. There's these two ends of philosophy. There's the philosophy of, you know, fully embracing liberty, and the philosophy of fully embracing slavery, subjugation, and being controlled by the state, statism, or is it controlled by some ultimate power. Anyway, so what we want to do is we're going to get into natural law, but as we were talking about the fundamentals of liberty, I started pointing out that it is a fundamental basis of nature to have opposites. As a matter of fact, if you look at Satan and, you know, Satan's plan, even if you're not even religious, if you look at the concept of denying the opposite, in other words, full subjugation, if you look at government like communism and full subjugation, it is contrary to natural law. It's contrary to allowing opposites to exist. If it is a threat to the existence of the thing, of Satan or of the state or government or what have you, then it must be denied. And it's almost like saying that, you know, that positive doesn't exist in the atom. The proton doesn't exist. And that's contrary to science. That's contrary to the truth. That's contrary to nature itself. As you know, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And, you know I haven't said this in a long time. We have a listen line, and I know many of you do use it. We'd like to see, if you can't stream, if you're not listening to, because you don't live in Cleveland or where this show is being broadcast, then I just ask you to dial in 605-562-4209. 605, that is, I believe, South Dakota. It's a South Dakota number, and the irony is that I had that run-in with that state legislator in South Dakota who claimed to be a champion for the Constitution but refused to call upon all public servants to make a formal statement, and refused to make a formal statement himself, calling out all those people who have been violating our liberties. So regardless of where you fall, you know, and you look at the personal sides, personalities, what have you, it doesn't matter. You take an oath to support the Constitution. You're expected to support the Constitution. It is your job as a public servant to actually take the position of supporting the Constitution. And it's a hack. It is a shill for an agenda when, you know, somebody tries to fall behind, oh, well, the Hatch Act, I'm going to be a federal employee and I can't make a comment about the Constitution. Are you kidding me? The Constitution is not a political partisan issue. It is the supreme law of the land. And so, bottom line, legislators, beware. You want to take those types of positions, you will be outed. We can no longer afford to allow these types of people, these arrogant, pompous people, I'll try to keep it clean, these arrogant, pompous people who believe that they're better than us, who believe that they are, you know, the alpha and omega of the Constitution, and they will choose to do what they want to and entitled to do so. Are you kidding me? There's a reason why we call them public servants. Now, anyway, so just beware. If I ask you to make a statement and you refuse to, as far as I'm concerned, you can defend that in your re-election with your constituents. If your constituents don't care, they don't want to make hay out of it, that's up to them. Just because they think you're a nice person. But I'm telling you, we're getting screwed. We're getting screwed royally. We are on the path to ruin because of the politicians and the compromises and the compromising positions they choose to stand in. So anyway, forgive the French or the almost expletives with what I'm trying to say. The bottom line is we need to hold them accountable. And the election, you know, this is the time of year. Election time is the time to hold these people accountable. Now, like I said, we've kind of going through the scale of liberty. We're going to be working through natural law and into republicanism, into our enumerated constitution and the essay on property. So stay tuned. That's what's coming up. We also have a lot of things that are going to be coming up as the election. We hope to have some state legislators and other people running for election making their comments. I think it's time we start separating the wheat from the chaff. There's got to be a process, and that process is the Constitution, holding people accountable. The litmus test is the Constitution. If these people that are running for office, they want your vote, and they're not willing to make a stand, they're not willing to actually call people out for violating the Constitution, you know what? You are an enemy to the people you serve, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, as you also know, we do have Red State Coffee. We would love to have you support the show. If you're a coffee drinker, get your Red State Coffee on. Right now, they're our only sponsor. They're our only mechanism getting some financial support. So if you have had your Red State Coffee, give us a call. We'll record. When you call 425-270-5417, you know, 425-270-5416. That is the correct number. If you dial that number, 425-270-5416, just leave a little note. What you think of Red State Coffee? We will be happy to put in a, you know, your little comment into a little collage of listeners to go, hey, this is great coffee. Not a coffee drinker, but I do, and I've heard from people that this is a premium coffee. So anyway, any bit of help you can do, we'd appreciate it. With that, let's kind of just churn forward. Thanks for tuning in. We do rely upon your listenership, and we ask that you actually consider and continue to get other people to be, one, aware and engaged in the conversation, because this is still the only show that goes through the academic evidence and provides evidence-based solutions. I mean, the framers have given us what I have written about may be intellectual property for today, but it is literally regurgitating. As I've noticed and as I've gone through this, this is verbatim what Jefferson and Madison were talking about and they wrote about. It was their, I guess it's their original thought, or I kind of, maybe through osmosis, you know, just picked this up and then regurgitated, but not knowing. But anyway, long story short, we need to get this message out, and helping us get this message out would be greatly appreciated. One final comment before we go into the break. You need to start demanding all your public servants need to make and state their position regarding what the heck is going on. The complete loss of liberties throughout all of these states is unacceptable, and we need them to make a statement so that they can defend their record. And that's why they won't make a statement. They believe that you will accept the mealy-mouthed zero comments and that you'll just keep them in place because that's your job, is to keep them in place. Anyway, we'll be right back. We'll start off with a recap and we'll move into natural law right after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
So let me do a real quick recap. We were talking about the scale of liberty. We were talking about the polar opposites of liberty and subjugation and how these polar opposites are ideologies, fundamentally philosophies. And as one moves down the scale from one end to the other and or up the scale, this is where you can find out just how objective somebody really is. Somebody that is on the full end or on the side of full liberty, that embraces the full individual freedom, responsibility, and accountability and those things, they're probably going to be far more objective than somebody that is not. And as you move away, you know, you become less and less objective. We've also talked about how the opposites exist in nature, not just these types of opposites, but opposites, period. And how in the ideology of the subjugator, they want to deny certain opposite positions and facts. The reason why is because they do not support their paradigm, and so they have to deny the truth. They'll accept much of the truth, but there's very specific truth that they have to deny because it conflicts with their ideology. So as you start understanding this part of nature and start understand what is nature, but what is natural law? So nature, when people look at nature, then people see, butterflies, they see water, elements and life and so forth. Natural law is the boiling down of the empirical information and coming down to the truth. Natural law is based upon principles of truth, and it is inherent to creation. Now, I will give you the look at evolution, because as we started being exposed to, fossils exist, and there's this evolution process that we see scientifically, blah, 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 that for a long time, they were able to monopolize and say, the truth is, the scientific truth is, because we didn't have the ability to see DNA and the other details that helped us understand the greater picture. They were able to get away with calling evolution as the truth of science, that we evolved and that we weren't created. And they like to point to the concept, so that you got natural law, and on the other side, you have man's law. Man's law is based upon dogmatic beliefs. And so they use this judgment of religion and creation as a dogmatic belief because it lacked science. Technically, as Sir Isaac Newton stated, any man that is trying to deny the existence or prove that God does not exist is somebody that is no longer an objective scientist, because science should be working constantly to, to support and to prove the existence of God. Believe it or not, that was Sir Isaac Newton's, I'm paraphrasing, but that was his philosophy. But as you look at evolution, and as we started to discover, there's this thing called DNA. There's this thing that is called the genomes, and this code that is absolutely essential for life to exist. How did that software get placed here in a world of hardware? All we had in this world in the very beginning, when the solar system was formed, were elements. There was nothing to create life. Most people just thought that, you can create protein goo, which was the Miller-Urey experiment. If you can create protein goo, then you have created life. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. All you've done is you've been able to manipulate the elements and the minerals with water and so forth to get to a point where you have the basic building blocks of life. But you cannot create life without the software. It's like getting the hardware of a computer all together and saying, I have created computing. Well, no, all you have is hardware. Computing is done through software in the processors and so forth. So you may have created the hardware, but you have to have the software and applications, the code, the intelligence. Not that there's no intelligence in the developing and production of the hardware. You have to have the root intelligence for that thing to actually function. For life to function, you have to have that DNA, the genomes, those microbiological interdependencies that each of these individual and unique cells require and so forth. And so we have learned through truth in examining these cells, cell life, and these origins of DNA and so forth, that there's just no way they could have evolved. It's just not a part of the element table. Software is not there. So we have learned, even though they tried to prove that evolution was the truth, we have now learned that it is dogmatic, and what they have created in the education system are laws and concepts based on dogmatic beliefs. And they're just they're clinging to this to the bitter end. And now that we have this level of empirical truth and empirical data, you know, they understand that they have to fight a very brutal war, because everything is at stake. It is about control. And when I say the brutal war, I truly mean over liberty, because fundamentally, it is liberty that is the fundamental premise of humanity. For us to exist in as God's creations, we must have the liberty. And by taking away our liberty, they have violated natural law. They have created what is really considered an abomination in the eyes of God, when you no longer have the ability to choose for yourself to, you know, to do good, to follow him. And we've talked about this before. But natural law harmonizes with and is due to knowledge and understanding. So it harmonizes with the truth. It harmonizes with nature. And it is due to knowledge and understanding. Natural law is basically, it's universal, and it exists and applies anywhere in the universe, regardless of location. And it is eternal and immutable. It exists and applies for as long as the universe exists and cannot be changed. Based on man's law, these again are dogmatic beliefs. They are complied with due to fear and or punishment. In other words, here's the law. Either you do this, either you stay home, or we will punish you. It differs with location based upon the whims of the sovereigns, our legislators, those who are creating and enforcing laws, and its moral relativism. Man's law changes with time and is based upon, the whims of moral relativism, those who are creating the laws and those who are enforcing the laws. One of the things I try to point out, that if you look at natural law is disturbed when you create something that is contrary to the benefit of society. Now, one of the things that I like to point out to people is homosexuality is contrary to the benefit of society. Because what is the benefit of society when man and woman, you know, joins together in marriage and has a family? And the family is the nucleus of our society. When we start denying the family, when we start denying the procreation, the creation of children, then we have started moving away from a thing that harmonizes with society and has actually created something that is a direct conflict to that. Anybody that, and this is what just absolutely boggles my mind, anybody that wants to choose some different course for themselves, there are consequences for those choices. If you choose to become and or want to live a life of sexuality as a homosexual, what that means is that you will not be able to procreate. But we've now advanced and we've now perverted ourselves to a point where instead of forcing them to live with the consequences, the bleeding heart pacifists are giving your children or, you know, allowing them to use science to bastardize or to create their own form of child because, you know, they want to be able to be just like us. But they want to be the perverted form of us. These things are truly an indictment against our society, and they are inviolable. They're palpable violations. They're blatant violations of natural law. When you start allowing those types of laws and those types of things to start to exist, then we are moving. And this is where enlightenment comes in. We start recognizing that this is it's a violation and contrary to the harmony and harmonizing with overall society and the laws and so forth of God and the societies of, and what I'll call is the enlightened society of man. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So, excuse me. In essence, natural law is a philosophy that is a byproduct of an enlightened society based upon liberty and truth. Wiki describes natural law as asserting that certain rights are inherent by virtue of human nature, endowed by nature, traditionally by God or a transcendent source, and that these can be understood universally through human reason. As determined by nature, the law of nature is implied to be objective and universal. It exists independently of human understanding and of the positive law of a given state, political order, legislature, or society at large. And it's sad that too many people don't understand natural law and these concepts that the framers all, you know, it was just common knowledge. Historically, natural law refers to the use of reason to analyze human nature to deduce binding rules of moral behavior from nature's or God's creation of reality in mankind. The concept of natural law was documented in ancient Greece philosophy, including Aristotle and was referred to in Roman philosophy by Cicero. References to natural law are also found in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, later expounded upon in the Middle Ages by Christian philosophers such as Albert the Great and Thomas Aquinas. The school of Salamanca, anyway, made notable contributions during the Renaissance era. Now, modern natural law theories were greatly developed in the Age of Enlightenment. Now, most people will talk about the Age of Enlightenment as a time that was kind of known to Europe. I'm here to tell you that Enlightenment continued. And when Enlightenment continued in the expanse of Europe, it became, believe it or not, more innovative and more enlightened here in the Americas, because we were unique as a society, because our society was based on levels of liberty that nowhere were these things being practiced in Europe. If you lived in any state, that state had a very specific government. But here in the Americas, you could have been in the government of one type of religion and been able to practice another type of religion. You weren't necessarily compelled. Christianity became tolerated. And as a matter of fact, that was the uniqueness of the Americas, because I think it was 1672, somewhere around there. Maryland and many other states became, quote unquote, tolerable states. These states actually allowed the freedom of a difference in consciousness and a freedom of faith, a difference of faith. That was a very unique thing, because in France, you did as the king expected you to do by following, you know, the clergy of the state. States had religions, and the religions and state laws were intertwined. They were harmonious, and they did not allow competitors. What we have today is the opposite of enlightenment, because we have a religion coming from our state, because our state demands that everything be godless, which is a religion in itself. So as we look at how, you know, America, you know, was in a position of furthering enlightenment well beyond what Europe was even capable of, because of the liberties that we were tasting, we were able to create a system of government unlike any other form of government, one that had checks and balances so that we would be able to maintain liberty beyond anybody's comprehension, especially for the time. I mean, this was one of the reasons why George Washington recognized that the powers in Europe were very jealous of the liberties that we created for ourselves. And they were even blown away with the concept that George Washington willingly stepped down from his mantle of power. I mean, these things were just not, they couldn't fathom these things in Europe, because they were not that enlightened. And we pushed enlightenment. We pushed the scale. We pushed the envelope in so many different ways. This is why America was so great. Now, so again, modern law and or modern natural law theories were greatly developed in the Age of Enlightenment, combining inspiration from Roman law and philosophies like social contract theory. Key proponents were Gentile, Suarez, Hooker, Hobbes, Grotius, Pufendorf, Hale, Locke, Hutchinson, Bacon, Vital, and many others. I mean, though, that's just to name a few. It was used to challenge the divine rights of kings And so I want to stop right there. As a matter of fact, Hobbes was the one who kind of, in this evolvement or the evolution of enlightenment, Hobbes was the one that put forth the idea, and it's actually, you know, it perpetuated, but he articulated it onto paper that royalty were divinely set apart by God to be our sovereigns, that Adam was the first sovereign, and that, you know, he was the ultimate authority of all things. And it was Locke that actually challenged that, because Locke recognized that Adam, who had sons, did not answer and speak to and for the people with God. And what I mean by that is because he points out that when Cain slew Abel, if Adam was the sovereign and the speaker for God, then why was it that God went to Cain and not to Adam and said, "Do you know what thou son has done?" Instead, God went to Cain and said, "Thy brother's, you know, speaks from the dust," and so forth and so on. And I'm paraphrasing, but the fact of the matter is, it was Locke that was able to point out the holes in Hobbes's theory, that these people by birthright were not divine any more than, you know, a pauper that was born in poverty. There is no difference, that we were all created and born equal. And so those concepts were just, they were stewing away, and they didn't come forth until the American, you know, consciousness woke up with Thomas Jefferson identifying that all men were created equal, and arguing that in the case of a mulatto in 1770, in declaring that here, you know, we're looking at people based on the color of their skin, but we're all created equal. And we all have God-given rights, which was the precursor to the Declaration of Independence. George Mason either heard or somehow must have heard what Thomas Jefferson said, because he restated that in the Virginia Bill of Rights, and then in the U.S. into the Declaration of Rights, and into the Bill of Rights, and so forth. So Thomas Jefferson was kind of like the guy that spilt the beans on this concept, and it's very similar to his. It was his concept in the Notes on the State of Virginia of holding government accountable, holding them to the accountability of the contract, which I really didn't even know and realize, other than the fact that I did recognize that the Constitution is a contract. And I recognized through, and I'll just say from divine inspiration, that we have the fundamental rights in the tenets of contract law. Within the tenets of contract law, we, the stakeholders, or the states and the people of the states, can hold the general government accountable to the contract. Therefore, we can audit the contract, identify the discrepancies and variances, and demand that they get back within scope of that contract. So these things were literally concepts that were well outside the reach of the rest of the world outside of America. That's why the framers were able to create a system that was far greater than, I think, the sum of their parts. Some of the things that each of them contributed, I don't even think realized just how grand their contribution was. And a good example of that would be Roger Sherman's concept of republicanism and representation of sovereigns, not just representation of the people, but representations of the sovereigns of government as well. So as we can tell, we're at a heartbreak now. So what we'll do is we will take a quick break, and we'll come back, and I'll kind of recap what we've been talking about and move us in towards republicanism. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so let me finish this thought before we move into some government fundamentals. If you understand, natural law was used to challenge the divine right of kings and became an alternative justification for the establishment of a social contract, positive law, and government itself, and thus legal rights in the form of classical republicanism, in other words, the representation of people. Conversely, the concept of natural rights is used by others to challenge the legitimacy of all such establishments. So we've gotten to this point where you hear people say, we're endowed by these rights. And as a matter of fact, I talked about this just last week, that in a telecon, I talked about civil rights that we create, and we now have governments that are created that are constitutional republics. Whether we like it or not, we do not have the Declaration of Independence as our framework, and then that we just kind of, you know, create laws and disintegrate laws. It's not like that at all. We have created enumerated powers for government, and the only way government can function is through enumerated powers or through general powers. So beware of granting general powers to your government. Give them enumerated powers and make them function within those, and then you can hold them accountable to whether they are functioning within those powers or not. Now, anyway, in speaking to these fundamental rights, those fundamental rights, not that they're wiped out, they are still the tenets of natural law and are somewhat protected, but they're not protected by anarchy. They are protected by the rule of law. And the problem is that we now have this thing called the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And I've talked about this before, but I want to explain it right now so that you understand. We have enumerated constitutions. We also now have a Bill of Rights that says that Congress can't make any of these types of laws and these types. as the framers clearly pointed out, when you go down the path of taking, you know, and making these things, you know, off limits, what happens is then people say, well, you didn't mention this, so clearly we can do these other things. No, we need to keep in mind that we have enumerated powers in the Constitution, not general powers. So they can't just come along and say, well, you didn't say anything about health rights and the life, or the right of life, so that we can abort babies now and practice infanticide. No. If it's not there, if it is not delegated to you, you have no jurisdiction over it. The only thing the Bill of Rights did was it created a nugatory power in addition to only delegating these specific powers. Just because they didn't think of something doesn't mean that they can now do it because it wasn't listed. It is very clear that they are only enumerated these powers, that the Bill of Rights are only nugatory powers against government from, you know, crossing these very specific boundaries. It doesn't mean that all other boundaries are wide open. They are still held to the enumerated powers. And so in understanding that, when somebody has the right of conscience, that is a First Amendment right. That is a civil right. Even though you may want to tell me that that is a right endowed by our Creator, in our legal system, it is a constitutional and civil right. Civil right being a right protected by government and law, just like speech, just like religious expression and consciousness. You understand that when we created the Bill of Rights, they created legal protections of rights of property, the right of illegal search and seizure, or the protection from that, or the right from not being able to incriminate oneself, that you can always demand the fifth and say, I refuse to incriminate myself. You cannot make me incriminate myself. Well, in 9 times out of 10, when people plead the fifth, then people go, oh, well, the guy must be guilty. Anyway, and there's been some really good cases where somebody has pleaded the fifth and they didn't want to incriminate themselves about something else and made people believe that they were guilty about the one thing they were charged for. But anywho, the fact of the matter is that we do have a system that has civil rights. And that when we get to a point of declaring martial law, that's why you need to read that article, Martial Law of the 21st Century. When you read that, then you understand that, oh, martial law is the time when they suspend all rights and states take over and government dictates everything. You no longer have these civil rights under the Declaration of Martial Law, which is within the constitutional boundary of government. It was clearly discussed and clearly defined. Martial law was dependent upon the deployment of the militia for the enforcement of the laws of the Union as necessary and or dictated by the emergency at hand. Here's the problem, my friends. They don't have the authority. They don't have the militia. They can't deploy the militia because it doesn't exist. You want to, you know, you want to create the system that we need again. We have to have the militia first. We've got to create the militia and we've got to legitimize the militia in every state. And then we delegitimize, we have to acknowledge and get rid of every federal enforcement agency and every bureaucracy out there. Only the militia is to, you know, to enforce those laws. We don't need no stinking EPA. The EPA is not within the jurisdiction of the enumerated powers of the Constitution. And this is how they've been able to, you know, basically bamboozle us down this path of unconstitutional tyranny and create the standing armies necessary to ram down our throats all sorts with these arguments of, well, you know, we got global warming, we've got, you know, water table problems. I mean, they've been able to lie and deceive us to a point where you got to be kidding me. We are so outside the boundaries of the Constitution, the checks and balances. I mean, folks, what's it going to take? What is it going to take to get you to take a stand and get us back into, you know, the constitutional framework? So let me ask you a couple of questions. I want you to ponder on these things between now and the next episode, okay? So here's some questions. What is a federation? We hear and talk about a federal government. We hear and talk about federalism. These things are based upon a federation. Obviously, all things federal, right? What is a confederation? Why is there a difference between a federation and a confederation? Is our constitutional republic a federation or a confederation? Both possess a general government, and a general government in both can and often is referred to as a federal government. I'm not trying to confuse you. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get you to start thinking, to start looking at what we actually have. What should the federal or general government be? The answer is you have to look at the Constitution and understand what it is designed to do on paper. They were granted these very specific powers, and these are the only powers, along with the amendments, that they are able to exercise. Some of these powers are constrained further by legitimate treaties. Treaties, even though the language says that a treaty does become the supreme law of the land, a treaty can only be made if you have the legitimate authority over it. I mean, I can sell you the Brooklyn Bridge and you can give me the money for it. It doesn't make it yours because I don't have the jurisdiction. I don't have the ownership. I don't have the title. I do not have that authority. The federal government does not have blank authority. They have enumerated authority, and only over those things can they make treaties on. Now, they can make, you know, international trade treaties, absolutely, because that's a delegated power to them. They do deal with foreign nations and foreign land. The whole thing about Native Americans, and I'll just go into this really quick bent before the show ends. The fact about Native Americans, the framers were doing everything they possibly could to incorporate Native Americans into our republic. It wasn't until the hatred from the Democrats and the racism of the Democrats with Andrew Jackson, where they decided that they were going to make them second-class citizens and subjugate them for the next 200 years, violating the fundamental principles in the direction that the framers had intended. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we will be back, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.